Start streaming.
Hey, it's Bree, and my show, Bree TV, is now on the After Party every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on the B-side. Tune in and call in so we can talk about everything from relationships, religion, politics, sex, travel, or gardening. Remember, Bree TV every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the After Party. See you at the party.
My mental thoughts to play a ghetto sauce you are, and I'll be your sexual chocolate bar. And I gotta keep strong for the cause, and you gotta keep me strong for the tours. Brother, man, and me, damn the family. What else could we be with no one understands us but me? You were the first to tame me. Big T, I'm out.
Hey, Bree TV, every Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. on the After Party, thaafterparty.com on the B-side,
Call in number 214-717-4827. I'm jammed up because somehow I'm live on Facebook, but my camera is turned sideways, so I'm a little confused now. We're here. And a couple things. I don't know who's seen the movie Get Out yet. My engineer, Eric, said he hasn't seen it, but we're going to talk about it. Right. And I don't want to ruin it for him, but he said he's heard about it enough that it don't matter. So we're going to talk about Get Out. And I have someone calling in this evening. The director of athletics and healthy lifestyles for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City, Wayman King, is going to be calling in a bit. And we're just going to, I have a page called Ask Bree. I got asked some questions and I compiled a few of them. So we're going to answer some of the questions and we're just going to shoot the shit today.
So how was your week?
It's just Wednesday. Yeah.
Well, everybody's week doesn't start on Monday.
Mine starts on Tuesday.
Exactly.
So
still no go. Okay.
Well, not how really.
Was your Tuesday?
I don't know. You know what I did? Seriously, I gave up meat for Lent. Did I tell you that last week?
You were talking about that last week.
Yeah.
How's it going?
You know what? I'm okay with it. I don't eat pork or beef anyway, so it wasn't. I just have to make sure, like, I don't do something like run into Chipotle and get a bowl with chicken in it or something like that. So far, I'm pretty good. And my biggest concern is I think that I'm scared that after the 45 days, my body won't want chicken or turkey anymore.
Well, yeah. After you develop a certain habit, your body starts to reject those certain foods if your body not used to. So
yeah,
that could definitely happen.
It did with pork.
With pork?
When I stopped eating pork.
How bad was it like?
You know what? I actually did it on a dare. I lived in Seattle at the time, and I had a guy roommate. And we had, you know, you hear all the time where people will say, oh, well, you know, pork is bad for you. Pig, the swine is a filthy animal. All the stuff that you hear. So we decided, he came up with the idea for us to not eat pork for 3 months, for 90 days, and see what happens. And 6 weeks in, I had just bought a new car, and I was at McDonald's. And I ordered it without pork because, you know, all their stuff has sausage or Canadian bacon or some type of pork on it. And they put it on anyway. Well, I didn't think to check. Open it up in the car, take a bite of it, chew it, swallow it. And thankfully, it was like a really, really, really long driveway for the drive-thru. Because I was literally inside of 30 seconds, I was throwing up. I was doubled over and thrown up in the floor of the passenger side of my new car.
Just off that one bite?
And well, yeah. And the thing was, I was driving a stick. My car was a standard. And I couldn't get my feet situated to hit the brake. Because it was in neutral, but I could not get my feet right to hit the brake. So it was slowly rolling into traffic. And it was like 7:30 in the morning. So everybody's on their way to work. And I'm like, I'm going to roll out in the traffic and hit somebody or get hit. It's about to be a very bad day.
McDonald's at pork.
Yeah, and I have not touched it since then. And then a year later, the smell of beef smelled like flesh to me. Mm. Yeah, it didn't smell like I had never, it had never
even
done
season that. After seasoning? Or
I was cooking it, and I was like, and then zero desire. From once I was sick from eating pork, I was like, yeah, no, I'm not up for this anymore. So, no, I'm not going to be able to do this. So, pork was 28 years ago and beef was 27. So it's not in my system. And I'm not one of the people that play, oh, I don't eat pork or beef, but I have ham on Thanksgiving. I don't want nothing to do with it. Not at all.
Take and
no chances. None. So I'm a little nervous about that, but I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing if I don't eat chicken or turkey.
I think I learned this from you. Is pork and glaze on donuts? I've heard this.
I didn't say that. Somebody look, let's Google it.
I don't know about Google. Can we trust Google still?
Well, you can read. I mean, you can. Well, here's the thing, though. If it's in it, it's kind of like with gummy bears. Gummy bears have beef gelatin in them.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that, too, as well. So,
yes,
it's the gelatin. Okay.
Yeah. And I try. I got two bags of gummy bears in my bag right now. And I go through times where That's another thing. I'm trying to cut back on sugar during Lent, but I try not to eat any of the byproduct if possible. But sometimes I can do it. Sometimes I may eat a particular, like I eat Haribo gummy bears. If I eat a particular type, my sinuses will flare up. And it's not bad. I'll just get congested. You know what I mean? Like once it's in, when it's in my system, the way my body wants it out is through my sinuses. Like I was at my mom's probably 10 or 12 years ago, and she made a pot roast. Everybody eats the potatoes and the carrots and the fucking pot roast. Mm-hmm. I took one carrot out, ate it, took one potato out and ate it. And I probably within an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, I felt like I had the worst sinus infection ever.
Damn.
Ever. I am that sensitive to it. So I'm like, yeah, no, not touching it.
So everything has to, as far as you eating, everything has to be on point.
Yeah, and I eat out. Mm-hmm. But like if I have friends, we get together and, you know, go to each other's houses and we'll play cards and dominoes and blah, 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 whatever it is that we may be doing. I'm the person that eats before I get there or I show up with food. So, and we've been doing this for probably 12, 13 years now. So they know. Before they were like acting like they were all offended. I was like, no, seriously, I'm just a special needs eater. And it's not that I don't trust you, but I don't fucking trust you because you're going to tell me that ain't no pork in these green beans because you took it out. Mm. That means it was cooked with pork and I can't eat that. So,
hey, save yourself.
Yeah. So they kind of got it. They got it.
Well, we got a caller here. Maybe they ate some pork. Tell us something about that.
Let's see if it's Mr. King. Hey, thanks for calling Bree TV.
Hello.
Mr. King.
Yes, how are you?
I'm great. We were actually talking about not eating pork, but now that you've called in and interrupted our session here, we're going to get to
Well, that's fine. You can finish. You don't like pork?
Not for 28 years.
Okay.
Mr. Director of Athletics and Healthy Lifestyles for the Boys and Girls Club.
Great again, see?
Well, that's my contribution. I don't eat pork or beef. That's my healthy lifestyle.
Okay. Well, that's a start.
Man, I'm 28 years in. We're beyond the start. Okay, listen. Tell me what you do. Tell me what this encompasses. Because, you know, I like kids stuff. I like dealing with young people. But I don't do it in the same way that you do it.
There's always opportunities to volunteer. Ideally, we like folks to come to the Boys and Girls Club. There are some there near the local marketplace. But what I do for the Boys and Girls Club is I facilitate the development and implementation of healthy lifestyle programs, which is basically relationship building, taking care of your body where there's rest, nutrition, exercise, things of that sort, as well as teaching life skills through sports participation. Now, inherent in all of that is athletic competition. So we do have sports leagues, and we enrich those sports leagues, so we encourage a lot of our members to participate, not only in the traditional, if you will, sports, basketball, baseball, flag football, but we also have aquatics, we have volleyball, we have tennis, soccer. So there's a variety of sports, golf, that we offer our members in an effort to expose them to different sports, and in learning those, the mechanics and the history and the rules of play of those sports, hopefully broaden their minds and encourage them to embrace new challenges and develop a greater understanding about whatever activities they're participating in.
That sounded a little rehearsed at the end there, sir.
No, actually, it's not. But, I mean, I guess, like you say, you had 28 years in and not eating pork. I've been doing this, I'd say, either on a voluntary basis or full-time since mid-'80s.
Okay. Well, first of all, I need to confess that you and I know each other. So when I'm speaking very familiarly with you, I'm not being familiar or fresh with you. We know each other.
We know about an hour.
Right. If the hour goes back to the Mayor's Night Hoops program, then absolutely. It's been an hour. It's been over 20 years. So listen, what's the age limit for the Boys and Girls Club? Like how old or how young can you be?
5 to 18 years of age. So if you turn 18, or if you actually, if you turn 19 during the school year or your year of membership, we don't just put you out on the street. You can finish up that actual membership year, and then we transition you on to other opportunities, either as a volunteer or hopefully you're going off to college or joining the workforce in some capacity.
So wait a minute, do they not have, like, at the Boys and Girls Club, do they not do like pickup games in the gym? So the only people that are in there that are over the age of 19 are volunteers?
For the most part, that's correct, yes. Now, we may have an event there that it may be held at a Boys and Girls Club facility, but it won't be for Boys and Girls Club members if the participation is over 19 years of age, 19 and above.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, now there was a time. Now, back in the day when I used to go to the club, we were open on Saturdays. And on Saturdays, we had a lot of alums, if you will, guys that had gone to the club growing up and were playing in college or in some cases playing professionally overseas or even in the league, would come back and just play pickup games. So a lot of times as a kid, I would be sitting in the stands and just watch these older guys play. So that used to take place, as I said, back in the day, but that doesn't happen and hasn't happened in a long time. I mean, there's a whole new set of rules and operating codes that we follow. And quite frankly, I think with the way sports are in this day and age, you don't find a lot of athletes that have played either major college ball or professionally that come back and they may get in an organized sports league versus just playing pickup games at the Boys and Girls Club.
When did the rule change happen and why?
That I'm not really sure of. But we got away from Saturday programming, and that predates me. I've been affiliated with the organization in an official capacity for about 5 years now. But, you know, from the time that I graduated from high school, went on to college, I didn't live in Kansas City. And the club actually changed from the Boys Club to the Boys and Girls Club during that time frame. But I don't know if that coincided with the change from the Boys to Boys and Girls Club or not.
Interesting. I did not realize that. But I didn't grow up in, there wasn't a Boys and Girls Club in my neighborhood. So
yeah,
I was, yeah, you know, in the city, they were predominant. Well, there's some that are going to be a little north of where I was, but I didn't realize that because I didn't hang out with them or hang out at them, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, I think it's a combination of factors, I would venture to guess. But I think that the premise of the club has changed a lot from the time that I was a young kid going to the club. There's a greater emphasis on educational development than when I was there. When I was growing up and going to the club, we would go to the club because we wanted to play bumper pool or we wanted to swim or we wanted to play basketball or football or something like that. So it was very much sports-oriented and arts and crafts kind of oriented. But, you know, as a transition has taken place, it could have something to do with economics, that there's more funding for programs that are educational reinforcement and enrichment than there are for just plain sports program development. So, and to keep the entity viable, if you have to make that transition, it makes sense. Certainly having educational development and enrichment is not a bad thing.
Well, are children able to come to the Boys and Girls Club for tutoring? Like, do you guys have people that are there in that capacity when you say educational enrichment?
Yeah, we actually have a host of program offerings for our members. And it starts with what we call Power Hour, which during the school year, the kids will come to the club. And if they've got homework or they need assistance with their homework or just time to read, things of that sort, then that's what that hour is dedicated to. So we have tutors there to assist the children with their work and their studies. And then from there, we may have a financial literacy class. We may have a health and nutrition class. We may have a dating class, meaning, you know, making some wise decisions about dating and who you're going to be with. Diplomas to degrees, all about educational enrichment and having an idea and a focus and a mindset about going to college, graduating from high school and then going on to college or to trade school.
What happens in the dating class?
Well, it's a variety of things, but it's really more about self-respect and understanding what a healthy relationship looks like or should look like. Sometimes we have some children, not all, but there's a number of children that are in our care that come from less than ideal home circumstances. So when you grow up in an environment that you don't really see a well-balanced and a healthy relationship, then you may be programmed to believe that certain behaviors and characteristics are typical of a relationship, and that's not necessarily the case in all cases. So we just try to provide an outline and some framework for kids to understand how to respect themselves and how to respect the people that they may be involved with.
Do you notice, you're saying that you've been affiliated with them professionally for 5 years? Do you have any children in your program or that come to the club that you've seen in your 5 years there? Any particular growth or change in them because of the club?
I'll answer that this way. I think there are a lot of kids that are there that as you are with them and see them from very early on, you see them grow and mature and become more responsible as they matriculate through the program. And I think I've seen quite a few kids that have graduated and then gone on to college, and some will come back and they'll spend time in the club, you know, or some just, they don't go to college, but they just get out into the workforce and they just make good decisions. You know, it's hard to say in some instances whether or not that's just a product of their maturity, or how much the environment that we provide helps or encourages them to make better decisions. But I don't know that you can differentiate one versus the other. I know that we do good work because the people that we are affiliated with and the kids that we serve, we can see a change in them as they go through our program.
Do they come back and tell you all that you all had an effect? Do they realize? I guess I'm asking, do they see it?
I'm sorry?
Do they, when they come back, do they ever express to you all as a group, meaning the Boys and Girls Club, or individually, that you all had an effect on them?
Well, sure, that happens in individual cases. I would not say in mass that they come back and you know, shower us with platitudes and things of that sort. But, you know, it does happen. And I can't tell you specifically how many times it's happened for any individual person. But what I can say to you is I think that we have a nucleus of people that are committed to this type of work. And when you get into this type of work, it's not really for the accolades or the adulation or the recognition. You do it because you know it's good work and you know that it's needed. You don't do it necessarily for somebody to come back to you and tell you that you had an effect on their lives. It's funny, I was just having a conversation with a young woman earlier today that does a similar type of work for a different youth organization. And she was telling me that she was burnt out with it, that she just didn't know what to do. She was tired of it. The volunteers that she was working with didn't really have a passion for the work and so on and so forth. And so we had a heart-to-heart conversation, and I just asked her, well, why did you get into this work? And she talked to me about it, and she shared her story, and I shared my experience as well. And what I told her was, when I got into this work, I did it because someone had done this for me. And they decided to forego other career opportunities that probably were much more lucrative because they felt a calling and a sense of responsibility to do this. And that resonated with me as I grew older and got into the workforce and realized, you know, how challenging it is at times to succeed. Now, this guy had opportunities to do other things, but he chose to stick with us. And he was dealing with a bunch of snotty-nosed kids that, you know, or probably, you know, not as well-behaved as we should have been, but he was patient with us. He saw something in us, and he chose to expose us to opportunities and to a world that was foreign to us. And even as we were awkwardly making that transition, he stuck by us. And that inspired me. So I shared that story with her and just said, listen, to your point earlier, you don't do this for recognition. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You do it because it's a calling. You feel compelled to do it. If you're in it for recognition and them naming a building or a street or a program after you, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. You know, this is very selfless work. It's very hard work, and a lot of times it's not very rewarding financially. But again, if you want to make a difference, there are several paths that you can take in your life and in this world to make a difference. But if you really want to make a difference in your community and not just where you live community, but the community and the population in which you live, then this is the kind of work that will allow you to do that.
Well, and I can tell you that having been your friend for 20 plus years, you were doing other things and you chose to step away from something to do what you're doing. And that's
right.
It's admirable. It really is. It's incredibly admirable because you can, the general you, not you specifically, but you're included in it. Anyone can have a career, homes, cars, you can have lots of things and travel and do great things that are very enjoyable. But it does take a particular type of person to step away from that lifestyle, especially to pour themselves into other people's children. You know?
Well, and yeah, that's true. But don't get me wrong. I mean, I enjoy taking trips. I enjoy all of those things, you know, and you know, because you do need a break and you need to step away from it. You have to have a balance. But my thing was simply this. There comes a point in time, I think, in everyone's life where they have to make a decision or really take stock and inventory in what they're doing. And, you know, you may want to make a lot of money. You may be captivated by titles or material things and all that kind of stuff. All of that stuff goes away. None of it really stays. All of that is just finite. But if you can, in my mind, what's way more valuable is if you can communicate with someone or reach someone or inspire or encourage them to do better, to be better, then that resonates not only with that person but with their children, with their children's children, within their families. I mean, that's something that has staying power, if you will. So your legacy then is the work that you put in to impact or at least make this place a better place. And when you can do that and do that successfully, then that's a seed that you plant that it's cultivated, it grows, and then as that plant grows, it germinates other plants. So more seeds are planted, and it just goes on and on and on. So the impact, I want to believe, and I do believe, of this type of work that we're doing will certainly outlast the finest automobile, the largest home, the biggest bank account that you can have.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Have you taken any trips lately?
Actually, I did. I just got back from seeing some friends of mine that lived overseas. I used to live overseas for a number of years and hadn't been back in quite some time, so I needed to get away and just completely unplug, and that's exactly what I did.
Well, overseas is a big place. Where'd you go?
Actually, to Australia, Sydney, Australia.
Anything exciting happen while you were there?
Well, excitement is kind of dependent on what you like to do and what you want to get into. I would tell you that as a country, Australia is really suits me in that it's a laid back country. You can do and be whatever you want to, And people, generally speaking, are accepting of you if you are of good character. You know, there's always jerks in whatever country you live in, but by and large, people just live and exist, and they do their thing. They look, seek enriching their lives, and that's really what they're about. So, generally speaking.
Okay. Well, sir, I would like to, yeah, you dodged it. I would like to thank you for calling in. We're about to get back to the ratchet stuff. Hey, did you see Get Out by chance? I don't know if we talked about
it. No, actually, I was actually talking to two of my coworkers today, and they were saying that it was an excellent movie, one. And two, I don't know if it's Rotten Tomatoes or whatever the popcorn bags, but it's got like 100, and one person or somebody gave it a bad rating. So have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it. I went last week and saw it. But, you know, I'm a loner when I go to, I can go to the movies by myself and sit all day. I did, but I'm, well, I guess you can't talk about it. Are you going to go see it? Maybe that's what I should.
Well, I am going to go see it. I just want to know, was it a good movie?
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's, what I really want is I want to talk to somebody white about it. There's a couple people that I want to talk to. I want to talk to white people, male and female. Okay. I would also like to talk to a black man who dates white women, because I'm sure you know the premise of the movie, correct?
Well, no, all I've seen is the shorts on it, and that is that there is a couple, interracial couple, and I don't know if they go to, I'm assuming they go to see her family since most of the folks were white, and
yes.
It's out in the woods or something, and from what I saw, I don't know that this is actually factually correct, but it looked like there was a movie a long time ago with Ice Cube and Ice-T in it, where
they were tracking him.
Part of
the one where they were tracking him when he had dreadlocks and Charles S. Dutton was in it.
Charles Dutton was in it.
I love that movie.
Rutger Hauer, you know, that one. So it kind of reminded me just of the shorts that's what was happening, that they had this guy out there in the woods and.
No,
suddenly,
it's not like that.
It's not. Okay.
It's not like that. But I love that movie, and I can't think of the name of it. But it's one of those movies where it touches on, for instance, he in one of the opening scenes, you know, they're packing to go to her parents' place, and wherever they are, it's secluded and not so much that, hey, you're in the woods, but it's just they have a lot of land. And the dad said something about their closest neighbors, like on the other side of this lake or whatever. But when they're getting ready to go, he asked her if she told her parents that he was black. And her response is, well, no. And it's kind of like she didn't really give it any thought. She hadn't really thought about it. Like she did, she was like, well, you know, my parents aren't like that. So, but it in that scene, what it addressed to me is how, even though we're all humans, obviously, we have different experiences, and they may be different, you know, based upon gender, age, race, religion, whatever it is. But in that moment, any black person that has ever, if you've ever been around white people, even if you go to hang out with them, I think with us, if it's the first time, you're always a little hesitant to go, because you're like, okay, well, do they know? Because, you know, what the hell? And he's going to her parents' home. So I know he's thinking, well, she doesn't think that her parents are that way, and maybe they're not, but hell, who knows? You know, it's one of those kind of deals. So throughout the whole movie, as things start to happen, he's kind of like, okay, what the hell? But then he, you know, is a little, he's very accommodating for her, because she's right. Like, well, you know, kind of, what he was like, yeah, okay, it's no big deal. Because he's, you know, he sees it, but she doesn't, you know? And it's, I confess, I didn't want to go see it because I thought it was scary, and I don't like scary movies, but it's actually more of a suspense or thriller. No, it's not scary.
It's not scary? Oh, well, I may not go and see it then.
No, it's good. It's more suspense than anything. It's more, like at one point they hit a deer, and it, you know, it's the deer comes out of nowhere and she hits it. It's that kind of thing. As opposed to it's not gore and blood everywhere. You know, there's a little bit, but it's not that big of a deal. I just thought it was going to be scary. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I won't see it. I'll maybe catch it on demand or something. I think I want you to go see it so we can talk about it.
Yeah, I will. I do want to see it. And before
it comes out on DVD.
The premise is an interesting one, but I think if it was me having that conversation and she hadn't told him, did he know they were going out into the woods or wherever?
You know what? I don't know what he knew. I'm not sure what he knew. I mean, I'm sure... To me, it would be, and I don't remember where they said they were, but to me, it would be like if you live in Manhattan and you're going into upstate New York or something like that, where it's not as congested. There's a lot more land, and her parents are obviously well-to-do. So to me, it's that type of a deal. It would be, okay, we're just going out of the city, you know, 2-3 hours or whatever it was. So, but see, what it does is it folds in so many different things because, of course, he doesn't want to go, well, you know what? Your parents could be racist. So you might want to get them on the phone and tell them that I'm black before I get my black ass out there. You know,
well, it could be. Yeah, I think that might be important.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He really didn't. And it's just very interesting because it addresses a lot of different things. And it's hard to tell it. It's hard to talk about it without, like, telling it, you know, because and I think everybody kind of sees what they see in it. But it's all the stereotypic things. It's, you know, when he gets there, the dad starts saying my man and, you know, stuff like that. You know how white people get comfortable.
He didn't say jive turkey, does he?
No, he didn't quite go that far with it, but it's that thing how with black people, when white people say little things, you pick up on it. Like my thing is, I hate when somebody white or anybody that isn't black or what, particularly not black, because black people kind of get it. But I hate for people to talk to me and not know me and become very familiar and go, girl, you know, girl. No, I don't. Right. But that's my personal thing. I also... Which is interesting that I named this radio program Bree TV because I hate if you don't know me or if I don't know you, I don't like for people to call me Bree. I prefer to be called Brianna if I don't know you, but what the hell?
Well, that's very personal, so.
Right, and it's that kind of thing for me with girl, and then I think it's like that with black people when they are around white people and you know that they don't say stuff like my man or, you know, high five or whatever they're doing from the 70s that they think is identifying with your plight as a black person. So it's kind of like that, but it's a very, very thought-provoking, interesting movie because it has kind of some turns in it because there's the girl has like an asshole brother. They have like two people who work because they have this, you know, this house with all this land and, you know, there's a black guy that's cutting wood and there's a woman that like works in the house and it's like they are their employees, but they're just weird. It's really weird. You should really see it.
I will. I think I'll try to see it this weekend if at all possible. So
yeah, it's probably calmed down a bit, but I really want to talk to white people about it because it addresses something that we say about white people all the time when they're dealing with black people. You know? Okay. So
is it a surprise ending? Don't tell me what it was, but was it a surprise?
No, you know I'm not gonna tell that. I don't necessarily think that the ending is surprising. I think the whole movie in and of itself is. It's kind of a thing where it's addressing two or three different things at one time. You know, it's him, you know, she's taking a black dude home and she didn't go get like, she ain't get no Barack Obama. She went and got Jimin Hunsu. She went and got a black man. You know, dark skin, ain't no pretending. Oh, you know what? His mother could be, somebody could be white. It could be, he might be mixed. No, he ain't mixed. It's just black and that's all it is. So he has his set of things that are going on. And you kind of think that, you know, she does, like, they get pulled over by the police at one point, and there's kind of something that happens in that scene, and you're like, wait a minute, okay, well, you know, and he's kind of like, oh, you know, okay, it's cool, it's whatever. But it kind of addresses cultural or racial things between the two groups, and it's, you just kind of have to see it and then report back, because it's definitely interesting. Definitely interesting.
Okay.
Great. It's absolutely worth every bit. And I don't even really pay attention to Rotten Tomatoes. I know what it is, but I've heard several times people saying that it got 100 on 100% or whatever the ranking is on Rotten Tomatoes. But it is really, really good.
Okay. Well, I will check it out, because I guess it's a sign that I should, because this is the second time today that I've had a conversation about it. So.
Yeah, you should see it. You should see it. I would like to get a mixed group of people in the studio and talk about it. The engineer Eric hasn't seen it yet, but Eric said it's not going to bother him if I talk about it, because he's heard about it. Somebody had already told him, they then gave the secret away. Or I guess gave away the plot. But it's just, it's very interesting.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I will do that. I'll speak it out.
Well, you got to get off my phone now, because Eric and I got to finish talking about what he might have given up for Lent.
Oh, all right. Well, I've enjoyed the experience, so thank you. Just like that, huh?
Well, we were talking about stuff, and I know we were supposed to have, you were going to call me, but we were kind of talking about Lent and me not eating pork and beef, and Eric said something about being pork and the glaze on donuts or something, so we're going to get back to what we were talking about.
I think that's a different kind of, yeah, all right, I got you.
No, we were just talking. Shut up. That's so...
All right, well, I'll let you have it then.
Good day, sir. Thanks for calling me.
Hey, no worries. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
All right, so back to these donuts.
Right, or whatever. I don't know. I don't really eat donuts like that, but I'll know next week. But I know lots of stuff. Listen, and so, because, yeah, I know, I rarely play music, and if I do, it's because people are in here with me. But since you and I are talking, we don't have to play music. So, yeah, there's like, when you kind of clean your system out, when you get a lot of stuff that shouldn't be in, out, mm-hmm. As soon as you reintroduce it, your body lets you know something's not right. So for me, if I can walk in and smell pork, mm-hmm. And I'm like, but people always, I don't know, I love pork. I didn't say I didn't like it, because I like a good spiral ham with cloves and pineapple on Thanksgiving and Christmas like the next person does. But if it makes you vomit, you will get away from it quickly. Mm-hmm. Or a good pork chop. Sometimes I crave a fried pork chop with applesauce for no apparent reason. I think I've had it twice in my life. But I just want it. It's the salty and the sweet, like chicken and waffles.
I want to flip something around.
Okay.
With the glazed donut talk. With eating bad food, well, switching your eating habits, would that work the same way with like curing a disease? You know how they use the dead cell of a disease to... put back into someone to...
Like stem cells?
Yeah, like...
Well, you know what? Funny you should ask me that. Look, we're having Ask Bree, and I didn't even read my questions. I'll be 50 next month, but I don't have kids. So I wanted to have a kid, but I'm not dating anybody. So I wanted to use I was going to use a donor. And unfortunately for me, evidently black men like depositing sperm in vaginas instead of in banks. So... I can't get nobody tall enough.
That's a bad thing?
No. Well, I want one from the bank. I just have made the decision. Well, it's pretty much a done deal at this point. But I made the decision that I wanted to use a donor. But when I started looking into artificial insemination, mm-hmm. which, by the way, you can do at home in Texas. Yeah. Who knew? I started to, and I have friends that are having babies, I started to learn about, I can't think of what it's called, but basically where they don't cut the cord. Mm-hmm. Like when you have a baby, usually what they want you to do is go ahead and cut the cord, and they kind of do whatever they do with it. But the cord blood is really, really good for the baby. Like what they will tell you, what people are learning or what is becoming a little more popular is when the woman, when the baby is delivered, they will, you know, kind of wipe the baby down maybe a little bit, like right there, but they will, you know, give the baby to the mom. The cord is still attached and the cord pulses. The cord is beating. It's still pushing that blood into the baby. Now, if you cut the cord, you can also bank the blood.
Yeah.
Like you can put the cord blood in the bank. Cause it's the, say if your kid ends up sick, you know, with whatever, when they're, and I, my knowledge of this is very pedestrian, but if your kid ends up sick at 12 or 15, if you bank that blood, you use the cells in the blood to help your kid.
So they will actually, for specific people, they will keep the actual blood.
Yeah, there are people who bank it. Yeah, you bank the blood. Oh, or you can, if you don't bank it, if you just let the, if you allow the cord to stay attached until it stops pulsing, until the cord is empty, then all the good stuff is in your kid. You know what I mean? But yeah, there's people who bank that blood, and it's for people, people, a lot of people who do that are people who have genetic, they have genetic conditions or something that may be hereditary.
Yeah, some strong genetic issues or something like
that. Yes. So they know to, they bank the blood, they keep the cord blood, so that if something happens later, they have that blood.
Is this, what do I want to call it, what's that word? Suspicion when they keep the umbilical cord in their wallet or something like that.
In their wallet?
Yeah, I've heard. It's like some
who the hell is walking around umbilical cord. What do you mean? The part that falls off?
I guess. I'm not sure.
Who's walking around with a whole cord in their pocket? I mean, oh no.
Well, peace. I just heard some weird stuff about umbilical cords, and as well as the keeping the blood in the bank, actually.
Banking the blood, I can see. I don't know. And also, there are people who will take, and which I know why, but there are people who will take their, you can take your placenta and you can bury it. Like they take it and bury it, and like they may plant a tree over it or whatever, but it's evidently really nutritious. Not that you're eating it, but you know what I mean?
So it's beneficial outside of the body weight. Out of any kind of bodily fluids, it can be beneficial to the ground. Cause I have another
Fact
I want to run by it too.
Absolutely, because my neighbor's cat, my neighbors, they are fostering a pregnant cat. And you know when they're gone, and you'll hear me. I'll talk about Burton and Maya. These are my white neighbor friends that have chickens and bees and whatever. So I'm always over and figuring stuff out, learning stuff. And Burton, they garden or whatever. But the cat. First of all, she's very friendly. Even she was like found in an apartment complex somewhere, but she's a really friendly cat. But I don't, you know, they had been out of town and I had had like 3 days of the worst shit ever, literally, because my dog was outside and ate something. So I went to work. When I came home, it was dark. I opened up the door. As soon as I opened up the door, I could smell dog crap. And I was like, oh my God, I had that two things that I cannot deal with, feces and vomit. So day one, I got poop to clean up. The next morning I wake up, I'm taking her outside. She vomits right by the door. I'm like, what the hell have you been eating? It bothers me so bad. And then the next night, poop again. So I was like, what the hell? So my neighbors, they're like, hey, they call me. Hey, Bree, can you, Brandon, can you go and check on Ophelia, the cat, or all the pets? Cause they have chickens and whatever. So I make sure everybody's locked in at night, or the dogs have food, or the cats have whatever. And the pregnant cat. And I'm like, I don't really want to go in here because the way my life is set up, I will go in here and this cat will go into labor. This is not anything that I want to be a party to. And I'm like, but if the cat is in labor, obviously I can't leave the cat. So I'm going, I'm like, please don't let this cat be having these kittens or whatever. She was good. I checked on her 2 days. Well, what happened is at like 8:30, quarter to nine one morning, Maya texts me and she goes, oh, we have kittens, because I've been asking her every day. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go over and see him. Well, what the cat, first of all, they had a nice little spot for her in the closet. The cat had the kittens on the couch next to Maya, because Maya had fallen asleep on the couch. So at like 5:30 in the morning, she said she could feel her kind of moving around or whatever. So now I want to know the ins and outs of this cat having these kittens. I don't want to see it, but you can tell me about it. Well, she won't leave. Wherever she is, she will not leave there, because the babies have to eat. In that first at least 24 hours or so, they are constantly nursing. So I'm like, she's got to be starving. What is going on? She eats the placenta. Not that people need to eat it, but that's what's there because she won't leave. Like, they can scooch around a little bit, but she won't leave them there. So I guess once they're born, I don't know how this works out, but basically she eats the placenta that the babies are in.
What better than dogs? They'll eat the whole baby. Yeah.
Well,
that was always weird to me too. I'm like, why is that? Like,
I don't know.
They're so comfortable eating just about anything.
I don't know, but you know, my dog makes me crazy.
A hell out of grass.
And you know what? For some dogs, this is my third lab. My dog, cat shit is a delicacy for them. I don't understand. My dog will defy me to hell.
They like cat food.
Dogs and that's what I think, but I think that the poop tastes like the food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, I can't. And that's why, listen, white folks, if y'all listening, this is why my dog will never lick me in my face, let alone my mouth. I know what she eats. I know exactly what she, no, you can't be in my face. And I love her to death. I will kill you behind some Cookie Jenkins, but you're not going to lick me in my face after I know where your mouth has been. So I think, because the cat ate it, but it just makes sense that a placenta would be filled with, it has to be nutrient dense. It just has to be because it sustains a baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's involved in that whole process. But I don't know about putting an umbilical cord in your wallet. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just one weird thing I remember just from back in the day. Somebody said something suspicious. For some reason, people come to me with some suspicious ways and
talking.
I'm like,
yeah,
keep that over there, please.
Yeah, no, no, no. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But, you know, with black people particularly, we just, a lot of times we will be pretty superstitious about the oddest of things. And mm-hmm. it just doesn't make any sense. And you're like, wait a minute, what? I can't talk to you anymore. Once they do that, I just kind of look at them and scooch away so I can get away from them. But I'm sure there's something, I'm sure it's probably nutrient dense mm-hmm. because you can take it and you bury it and it breaks down. And I'm sure you can probably plant stuff in it because I've heard something about it being maybe like freeze dried and they pulverize it so it's like a powder
mm-hmm.
and you can put it in your garden.
Well, that's something to look into, people.
I think Tupac's mother had him cremated and sprinkled him in her garden.
So Tupac is really dead.
Oh my God.
I had to ask.
Afeni's dead too, evidently.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tupac is dead. Oh my God.
I think Monty still believes he's alive.
I can't trust people like that. I can't trust them. I don't trust anything. If you say one dumb thing to me, one, no credibility with me at all. I don't trust anything you say. You could tell me the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. I'm going to go check. And I've known that since I was a child. But just because you said it, I now doubt it. Because you're dumb.
After you check.
I'm going to have to look or give it some serious thought because now I can't think of what the dude's name is, the basketball player. He said the world is flat. He said the earth is flat.
And that was a question about the past that's been brought up before, and he still believes it's flat.
And that's dumb, though. It doesn't even make any sense. It does not make any sense that the earth could be flat because if the earth is flat, mm-hmm. how can you not see, let's say you get a telescope. If you can see to the moon or to Saturn or wherever you may be looking with a telescope, if the earth is technically flat, shouldn't you be able to get a telescope and see Japan
mm-hmm.
or anywhere? When you look at the horizon, it looks like it goes on, but it gets smaller, because it's going around. Okay. Yeah, don't trust him. I know he's tall and he can shoot a basketball or whatever he does, but I wouldn't have any kids with him because there's a dumb gene running through there, and that's going to be a problem.
Now, you know I got to bring it up.
What?
Ben Carson.
Oh, listen, I post tons of stuff on Facebook. I'm a bit of a political wonk. It's a little more, I think my information is, my knowledge is a little more than pedestrian. But listen, I'm going to tell you what I know. I know stupid when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with Ben Carson. That dude is like dopey dwarf. What is wrong? I don't even understand. And I saw it on social media where people were commenting, so I knew what he said before I heard him say it.
Yeah.
Damn, Jesus so Christ, it is hard to listen to that dude talk.
Nobody wasted time going after him, man.
That is so dumb. It's
like he timed it so good, like, right when controversy is down a little bit, he just comes out of nowhere and says some of the craziest shit.
Everybody on Trump's team is stupid. Everybody. I won't even call him I don't even say the office that he holds. You know what I say? I say the person occupying the people's house. I refuse to acknowledge it. I refuse to. I won't. And they're all dumb. And I can tell you, because, well, first of all, he's dumb. But you know he's dumb? Because everybody that he chose is stupid. Now, he wasn't even smart enough to acknowledge that he didn't have any political experience. So he has zero political experience, and he has the job that you need the most, or at least a certain level of political experience or common sense or just smarts in general. He has none of it. So he didn't even bother to pick people who have political experience. Ben Carson is a fucking neurosurgeon. He put him in charge of HUD. He can't be the Surgeon General? I don't really want him in charge of anything, quite frankly, because I think he's fucking stupid. I think he's a savant. I think he is the person that is not the smartest person, but is, like, extraordinary at one thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a savant because he's a great neurosurgeon, but ask him to tie his shoes or play hopscotch. He's fucked. He is fucked. And you know what gets me is people have to be very mindful about their language. And everybody has to kind of get, well, they don't have to, but I try to be mindful of how I describe things, because he said, well, when he goes, slaves came over in the hull of a ship. Well, no, slaves did not come over in the hull of a ship. Africans came over. Doctors, lawyers, whatever they may have been doing, they were not slaves where they were. Exactly. These are people. Yeah, Africans came over and were made slaves. So be mindful of how you speak about people. One, stupid. And open up your eyes when you talk to people. What the fuck is... Oh, God.
So he's a miseducated surgeon.
He's so stupid. Can they please bust them with these Russians or show a video of him getting pissed on or something? I need him out of that house.
Be impeached in his position.
You know what? Oh, God. You know, I really just want... I want him out of there. I really do. I need him out of that house. I need him out of the house that slaves built. Get out. You know how you can tell that Donald Trump is dumb and a horrible president? George W. Bush has resurfaced. W. ain't said two words since he put the economy in the fucking toilet.
A hell of an observation. You show right.
He hasn't said anything. He has maintained a respectful silence, like a mourner at a funeral. Like, you know what? I fucked up the economy. I'm so sorry. I'm technically really a good dude. I'm funny. I'm good natured. But they tricked me. That Dick Cheney is the goddamn devil. And they tricked me. And Rumsfeld. And they did a lot of bad shit. They talked me into doing this stuff. And they made a lot of money. And they fucked off my legacy. He would have stayed in the shadows. Except Trump showed up. He can come back out now because he's not the dumb one anymore.
Do you think he's playing through Trump?
Who?
Bush is playing through Trump as president.
No.
You think no kind of...
No. You know what? I really think that George W. Bush is probably really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that he's very sophisticated.
Yeah, because he was kicking it well with Michelle. Well, he was being babysit.
Right. He was tangled up in a goddamn poncho for 3 minutes. But that's what makes me think he's normal. I think he's just probably a normal dude. Like, if I saw him, I would talk to him after I was tackled by the Secret Service and they had their knee in my shoulder. But I would really talk to him. I would want to talk to him because I think he's very normal. Now, Donald Trump... Ugh. I can only talk to him if I could say something slick to his ass. If I got to ask him a question, I would ask him something. I would say something like, why do you think over half of the world hates you? I wouldn't even make it about the country. I would say half the world. Why do you think everybody hates you?
You know you're getting kicked out right after that, right?
I don't care. As long as there's cameras running and they get to play it over and over and over again and he comes up with some stupid response, because then I'm going to be like, he's just dumb. or ask them, like, what exactly is going on with your hair? Somebody said it looks like a Treble from Star Trek. I don't know how old you are, but my mother is a Trekkie.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen every episode of Star Trek, but it's like a furry thing. And it's like a little thing that would make a little noise, like a little animal. And it's about this big, but it looks like Trump's hair.
Oh, that look! I know you're talking about. It's like the little.
It's a little ball.
The toy is called Furbies, little Furby.
But it didn't have a face on it.
Yeah,
it didn't have a face or anything on a Star Trek. But yeah, I can't. I can't. And Ben Carson is just fucking stupid. I don't. He could never. Even when they were campaigning, I just realized he could never be president. Beyond the fact that he's dumb, and this is the world according to Brianna. Beyond the fact that he's dumb, his wife doesn't wear makeup. Ain't nobody take a picture of your face looking like that. That is, I'm a makeup artist. That's what I've done for the past 15 years. Listen, Plain Jane, get on someplace and have a seat and quit wearing them fucking skirts with belts and sweaters with them. Get out of here with that. Ugh, anyway, Lord have mercy. You didn't got me talking about these people in politics.
I think we should go on to a break.
Okay, give me two songs. Give me two songs. I don't care what you play.
I got you. Y'all stay tuned.
Crazy with this thing. Don't you know I'm loco?
record spins around. You recognize this sound? Well, it's the underground. You know that we're down with what you like. With what you like.
And though we're usually on a serious tip, check it out. Tonight we're gonna flip and trip and let it all hang out tonight. We're gonna say what we like.
Cause yo yo, we wanna know how many people in the flow. We like to just let yourselves go and do what you like. What's a nice your night? Just eat food, try not to be crude or rude. Kill the attitude, chew the serious mood and do what you like. And do what you like. Everybody do what you like. Yeah, do what you like. Just do what you like. Yo, go where you like. I mean rich, poor, high, lower, upper middle class. Let's all get together and have a few laughs and do what we like. And do what we like. And since you came here, you gotta show and prove. And do that dance until it don't move. Do what you like. Sometimes I write.
Now if you're hungry, get yourself something to eat. And if you're dirty, then go take a bath. Messed up the line? Nope, sometimes I don't rhyme. Help yourself to a cracker with a spread of cheddar cheese. Have a neck bone. You don't have to say please. Eat what you like. Yo, smell how you like.
Everybody do what you like. Do what you like. Yo, do what you like. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you like to do, talk how you like. Let's just act a fool. It's okay if you drool, cause everybody's gonna strip and jump in the pool and do what we like. And do what we like.
Homegirls, for once, forget you got class. See a guy you like? Just grab him in the biscuits.
And do what you like. No red, white, tan, black, yellow, or brown. It really doesn't matter, we could all get down and do what we like. And do what we like. From a pink-skinned Yankee to a blue-black southerner, ditch nigger or governor, just do what you like. Look how you like. The Sonic, to jazz for the hip-hop fan. And since we're not your average everyday rap band, you're piano man. Play how you like.
Don't you know we're getting busy? Can't be corrected. J-10, have to be deaf. I say what I like. Like I said, sometimes we bite. Even though you don't think it's right. Yo, I like to bite. Just having fun, y'all. And if you think it is wrong, you got to admit, it's a new type of song.
Do what you like. Yeah, do what you like. Yo, go where you like.
Go where you like.
Yo, do who you like. Alright, here we go, y'all. Do what you like. Talk how you like. Drink what you like. Grab who you like. Feel what you like. Eat what you like. Scratch where you like. Itch if you like. Go where you like, kid.
DJs. If this record is currently being played at your station, we will provide the following time for you to announce your station identification. Radio stations may begin your fade here. For those that would like help, we will start your fade for you.
When you thought it couldn't get any better, they turned around and hit you with another one. Chase Spivey presents another gigantic gospel concert featuring Pastor Smokey Norville, Rashad Mitchell, Wes Moore, Myron Butler, Jonathan McReynolds, Ernest Pugh, and Jay Spivey Productions Mass Choir, hosted by Jonathan Slocum. April 8th at Friendship West Baptist Church. Get your tickets now at ticketweb.com. Call them at 866-468-7621.
Get your tickets at Friendship West Baptist Church, Jay Spivey Productions.
Want to turn your business or brand into a marketable radio show? Contact us today at 214-531-3301 and start streaming.
Okay, we're back. We're talking now about Ancestry.com. Because I got like 300 people on my family tree. But anyway. But basically with that, if you put some information in and you start looking through the census, like they, I haven't been on it like 4 years, which is why when I got on yesterday, I had like 200 hints or clues. Because what it does when you're not on there is it starts to look and it will compare your information to other people's information that might, like somebody sent me a message 3 years ago about a relative that it's like the person would be my great uncle, I think. Uh-huh. My great uncle or great great uncle on my dad's side. So because I put the information in, I had the information, I put it in. When they put it in theirs, eventually it'll roll through and it'll show it overlaps. And it'll say, oh, well, this dead person's information is also in this person's tree.
Oh, okay.
So the person went through and kind of looked and figured out and sent me a message and I responded. But it was, like I said, 3 years ago or so. So she probably thinks I'm just ignoring her, but I really wasn't on. But yeah, you just got to put the right stuff in and get pictures. Like I have pictures of my great, great grandmother who was born in slavery. But after she was probably like 25 when slavery was abolished, but it's hard unless somehow your family or whomever kept the information or had access to it and kept it or passed it down orally, it's hard to find the information. So I have her name and then I have her husband's name and date of birth. I don't have a date of death for either one of them, but something to figure.
I may look into that because I actually have French in my family. Supposedly, my great great grandfather came over on a box cart, and we actually have money from France as well. I guess that he came.
Was he white French?
No.
Or white. Really?
Yeah. And I look, and it's weird. I think my grandfather has a picture of him, and we all have this distinctive look, and it's our teeth and the mustache. I haven't grown mine out, obviously.
Are you like Pepe Le Pew, like wee wee wee, like that?
Yeah. I've never really just grown my mustache out all the way to see it, but when I get older, I'm of course go for it. But
where's the picture?
I want to see. I think my grandfather still has. No, my dad has it along with the money. I don't know what he did with it.
Scan it.
Still has it.
Scan it. Like I scan myself. Like I have pictures of my great great grandmother, great aunt, my great grandmother. And some of the people. Like my cousins, I don't have, I put some of them in there, but I have 50 first cousins and I have pictures of everybody, but it's just, this is one of those things that if you get started, you will never be so excited in your whole life than to see a leaf. Cause it means you got a hint. You're like, oh, I got a hint.
Well, I don't know. Cause the picture, he's kind of like far back. You know how they do like,
no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Still scan it. I have, you still want to have the picture. Because, like, the ones that I have, I scan them, or I either scan them, I scanned most of them, and I think there was one of them that I took a picture of the picture, but I turned the flash off on my phone and positioned my phone over it so it looks like it is just a picture.
So what do they do? Like, I guess, what kind of information can they get from it? Like, the time that it was taken,
They may, like, basically, like, for me, I just put the picture in so that, like, I have a picture of my great-great-grandmother. My dad's mother passed away before, like, my dad was maybe a senior in high school or somewhere around there. But I never met her. Mm-hmm. So I was at her sister's house, my great-aunt, and we were looking through pictures, and she looked really familiar to me. And I go, who is this? And my great-aunt just kind of chuckles, and she goes, well, who does it look like? Mm-hmm. And I go, me? And she goes, because that's your grandmother. I had never seen her before because we didn't have, you know, I didn't have any pictures of her. So for me, I have pictures in here and they're always there. No matter what happens with my system, they're in Ancestry.com. So I wasn't on for 3 years. When I logged back in, my account is still there and I still have the pictures. And there's, you can, they have a section where you can put the pictures in. Mm. So they kind of hold them for you.
Well, I hope nobody in your family do anything wrong, because they can definitely find those pictures.
Well, you don't want to post those kind of pictures. Now, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, just pictures in general. But any rate.
Right.
I want to say, since we're speaking about, you know, life and death, let's talk about these killings on these tracks with Remy Ma and Nicki Minaj. Gotta ask you, Bri, because you got all the answers.
You know, I don't know if I have all the answers. I sure got a lot of opinions, though. Hey. You know, I don't really listen to a lot. I like old school rap. But, of course, I know who Nicki Minaj is. I learned who Remy Ma was a while ago, because I work in a strip club, so they play whatever they're playing, and, you know, the girls are always, they'll tell me stuff, and I go, well, who the hell is Remy Ma? I don't know who it is. I don't know. So I learned who she was a few months ago, but I didn't know anything about, if I weren't on social media, I wouldn't know what the hell is going on, for starters, and I wouldn't care either. But this came through my news feed so much that I had to go look and see what it was. I was like, what is going on? Who is getting after Nicki? Oh, my God.
And I think, was there a talk of Queen Latifah, and it was like old freestyles has resurfaced from Queen Latifah, Foxy Brown.
I don't know, but they need to stay. No. Leave Queen out of this.
Why are we trying to make of the, first of all, we already have very few known female artists, and then we got this beef going.
Yeah, but you know, that's because when people's stuff gets, when it's personal. Just like I'm sure people in Chicago killing us, killing each other, they not stopping thinking, well, you know what, when I shoot this fool, you know, that this is like national news. I don't think they understand the ramifications of it or don't care. And with, I can't imagine Queen Latifah is going to be beefing with anybody just because she's crossed over. You know, she did, I went to see her in concert here a few years ago, and, you know, I was ready. All the good old school rap. I want all that. She covered Frank Sinatra. Like, she did a CD where she covered Frank Sinatra. And I was like, I wasn't expecting this. It's okay. But I wasn't really expecting this. But as she has, you know, gone from rap to acting and then, and with the, I believe it was a Frank Sinatra cover, she used her given name. It was Dana Owens. And I was like, who the fuck is Dana Owens? I was like, oh, okay, she's using her real name, because she's, you know, you can't really sell a Frank Sinatra to white people if your name is Queen Latifah, I'm sure. So I'm sure that was her move. But I don't think that they are necessarily concerned about it, you know? And also, I think they are in the moment. I don't, Remy Ma don't care. She don't care. They're talking about she can't leave the tri-state area. Well, meaning she don't care in the sense, not that she doesn't care about Nicki Minaj, but she don't care in the sense that she gonna say whatever she gonna say, because she's a lesser known person. Yeah. So she don't care. I think she maybe went too far with that second one. I didn't listen to it. The first one I listened to because people kept talking about it. I was like, let me go. And I have to, because I don't hear rap right. I don't hear it the way it comes out, because I got old lady ears. So I go and get on YouTube and find it with the lyrics. So I read it as she's saying it. Mm-hmm. And I think more her deal was that she had personal stuff. Mm-hmm. She was saying personal shit.
Well, and they have a little bit of history with each other. Like, they actually have video surface of Nicki Minaj talking about Remy Ma. I think she called her actually on a video. And this is before Nicki blew up, before she got boob job, Nash job, and all that shit, or whatever she had to get. I'm not sure. I don't keep up with all that.
But that, yeah. She did. She's got a body tell.
I don't think it's like you just completely fabricated.
I don't think that it's necessarily fabricated, but I think that a lot of times there's a couple different schools of thought. I think that when people feel like when you are a rapper, especially if you start off and you are rapping and it's you underground or you in the streets and you rapping and you kind of hardcore with it, and then you cross over. Mm-hmm. You lose a little street cred when you cross over for certain people. Other people are like, it don't matter. Get your money.
Yeah.
They don't really care. You know, like, they sort of said it a little with Whitney Houston, which I don't know why they said that with Whitney Houston, because I believe she was, I think Whitney Houston was Whitney Houston. Now, I understand she was a roundaway girl, and they packaged her to crossover.
Right.
But Whitney Houston's voice was always going to be crossover. That was never, that was always going to be bigger than just the genre of black music, whatever that is. So people have said that, but I'm like, no, I think she just developed and kind of went that way. And I think, like, with this whole thing, I don't pay attention. I just found out Nicki Minaj has ghostwriters. I'm like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me she ain't writing all these clever things herself? I don't care. I just say it. But
that ghostwriting deal, like, they didn't get over that, because that's always been the case in the industry. That's why,
because everybody's not, but everybody's not talented enough to write. Maybe the person that's writing the lyrics can't rap them the way that Nicki does.
Right.
So that's just, you know, you kind of form a partnership.
Yeah,
because everybody's getting rich. So that's what you're doing. I just don't, you know, sometimes I know way more about stuff than I care to know. Like, I don't care to know that that Nicki Minaj has a ghostwriter. But I did learn, I believe Remy Ma is married to Papoose.
Mm-hmm.
That joker got some skills.
Yeah.
I've heard his name. I don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
I am so solidly in my 50-year-old black woman demographic that it's crazy. But he rapped something and did the alphabet backwards and started with Z and said whatever and then backward. And I guess he went all the way to A. I didn't have the patience to sit and listen to all of it. But that dude's got some skills. I'm impressed. I like smart stuff. I like smart, clever things. I think like people don't like Jay-Z. I like Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z's clever. I think Kanye's clever too, but Kanye's crazy. I think he's crazy since his mother died.
He's clever. He just brings that perspective that everybody tries to avoid.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't even know that I necessarily want to avoid it. I just think he's a little loony at this point. And he's rude. Kanye's an asshole. That's another thing. He's an asshole. But because he told Amber Rose, who I thought Amber Rose was black, just to tell you how much I pay attention. I was like, wait a minute, that's a white girl?
For a long time until she put that hair on. I'm like, okay, now I see it.
Right. I didn't know. I was like, okay, she's like Rachel Dolenzal, whatever her name is. She's like her, but she's sneaking past us. But anyway, when he made a comment about Amber Rose, he was talking about Kim, but he was like basically saying that Amber Rose was a placeholder until he got the woman that he wanted. That's not very nice.
But that's just true. You can't.
Right, but you don't have to say it.
But that's, you understand what he's saying though, right?
I completely get it.
That's what I'm saying.
I completely get it, but don't say it. Don't tell somebody I didn't really dig you like I told you I was digging you. I was fucking you to wait till I could fuck her.
But it's the truth. That's what you asked for.
She should have stabbed him in his eye with a Coke bottle for saying it.
And that's,
have some goddamn manners.
That's her right.
Yeah, but you can just avoid all that. Have some fucking manners, some couth. You don't have to say that.
And see, I think that's what's really was emerging right now as far as a problem for everyone. That we're getting too comfortable in so many different ways of what's being held as a standard. And forgetting
the right, and they're all low.
Possibilities are can happen.
Yeah, and they're low. Because I also think that I think what that is that when you have to operate by a set of rules. This is why dating is hard, because dating only works on the honor system.
Mm-hmm.
Dating only works if you're honest. So if you tell somebody, hey, yeah, I'm really digging you, you know, and yeah, we can go out and hang out and I'm having a good time, and goes on, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months later, a year later, or maybe you'd have married him and had a kid and just whatever, and then you just up and you done. Because you were lying the whole time. You don't have to have all these problems. You just have to tell the truth about stuff. But like with Kanye, I don't know what kind of beef he and Amber had going on, but he didn't have to say that to her. You know, you didn't have to, or he didn't say it to her, but you didn't necessarily have to say that, because that's something that is, that's mean spirited.
No, just blunt. Just like,
that's mean though. Nobody wants to know they've been used.
Just somebody that has a slut walk.
The walk of shame?
However you want to call them.
Well, but that's to empower women. I saw that and kind of thought it was funny. I wasn't quite sure what was going on with that either. So, But I get it. But that's just to empower women. That's in the way, to me, that's the same thing like when white people call black people niggas or niggers. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of took the word and owned it. And even if we weren't taking it necessarily in at that point, we weren't taking ownership of it. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of, I think for...
Because of what it represented.
It is now. Time. I think now it is. I think before it was there was probably quite a bit of self-hate in it. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure initially there were a lot of black people that were like, you know what, don't call me nigga. Nope.
Yeah, and you had black slave owners too doing it. So
right. Or then when, yeah, so I get where it came from. But I think what is happening now is that people, black, particularly younger black people, have owned it. In the same way that men will call women a bitch. And I'm like, that's it? That's all you got is bitch? okay, whatever. You know, or... That's my deal with it. It doesn't offend me if you call me that, but you won't get a rise out of me. But at the same time, younger people, younger women, when they talk, they be like, bitch, are you kidding? Bitch. And it's just like saying, hey, girl. And I'm like, look, I'm looking at them like, what's wrong with you bitches? But see, why are y'all saying bitch like this?
I definitely understand what you mean by that, too. So can we... So are we allowed to change the meaning of things?
Absolutely. It doesn't. Here's the thing. Even if you don't even have to ask for it because it happens. Right. Because language is very fluid and it moves. And for me, whereas a lot of people that are, and I'm not saying like 50 is old, but considering it's probably midlife and where like I'm in that place where I know older black people. You, like, as a kid, me and my cousin didn't call each other niggas. It just did not happen. It never happened for something to happen to us for saying it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm sure there would have been, something would have been said. Because you're not just going to say, hey, it's not going to happen. I don't even think we say it now as adults. Like, with my aunts and I don't think we say it now. But... younger people have flipped it. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in the middle, and because I work with a lot of young people, I get the whole thing and why they say it and how they use it. My deal is, and just like with the word bitch, you can say whatever you want to say. I get it, but don't call me that. I get it. Like, there's a girl at the club, a particular one, that for whatever reason, she goes, oh, bitch, that... She's like 21, maybe 21, 22, and she keeps going. And so, you know, when you're around young people, I goof off with them or whatever. So she was coming to do something, and I told her, I said, you better get away from me before you get kicked in your face by an old lady. And she kept playing. Well, when I'm at work, I wear a brush belt. Like, I have a custom brush belt, and it's like 200 brushes on it. Well, it hangs in the front. Well, as soon as she keeps walking up on me, just to show her I'm serious, I flip it around, and then I put my hands up, and I raise my foot, because I'm literally, if she keeps getting close, I'm going to kick her in her chin. And she kept going, and I kept telling her, you're going to get beat up by an old lady. Mm-hmm. I've told her this, like, probably 3 or 4 times before. She'll understand, so when I leave the dressing room, my hair girl tells her, she goes, really? Shelby, Brianna's like 50. You really better stop saying that to her. And she was like, what? She was like, she's 50. And she was like, well, she doesn't look like it and she doesn't act like it. She goes, we know, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. She goes, you notice you're the only one that does that? Mm-hmm. And then she was like, yeah. And she goes, that's why. So they don't get it. They really don't understand it. You know, and I don't know. I don't think that I necessarily look 50, whatever that means, but I do believe I behave like an adult. So I don't know why you can't, there's no vibe coming off of me saying I'm an old lady. I will slap you or something. Nothing.
Well, in today's time, a lot of older people are not respected. So because when you say that, it doesn't take too much of an effect on a younger person. Cause they're like, okay.
They better get together where I work. Cause I don't play like that.
Some old school attackers. You need the old fighters.
Ugh. No, you know what people, I don't know how older people are friends with. Well, I'm kind of friends with like some of the girls. I need to have a stripper night. We should have the girls come in here and talk. I'll work on that.
Shout out to Glam. Yeah, we're going out. What? No.
I'm slapping.
No, she has another show.
I do. Yeah. I know. But I think because. Again, I say it all the time. I think when you do things when you're supposed to do them, everything kind of works out. I think if you have kids when you're young, you're the person that is still being friendly with, you got young people friends. And I kind of do because I work in a strip club. If I didn't work in a strip club, I wouldn't be friends with young people. I probably would have limited, if I have contact with them, I do because they come and they like to talk to me. But I'm not one of them people that's buddies. Like, oh, we going out, Brianna, you coming? No. What I'm going to do, stand in the corner and hold everybody's purse?
Basically.
And basically tell you, no, don't dance with him. I can tell he's not good for you. What am I going to do?
He's chaperone.
Right. I'm going home and getting my ass on the couch and watch like some on TV. Watch Marco Polo. That's my new thing now on Netflix. Yeah, but I'm fool with them.
You think we ever come to a common ground?
Who is the we?
Between younger folks and older folks as far as controversy goes?
No. So why? I think it's hard to. I think it's hard to because you have people.
And by ground, I mean a common respected ground as far as respect.
No. First of all, because not every young person is raised to be respectful of older people. Mm-hmm. And or they feel like maybe they need to be respectful to their mother and grandmother, but not anybody else. And then you have some older people who are just kind of, they can be a little mean or want to be buddies with them. I'm okay, like with the girls that I work with, I'm okay. And there's actually a few of them that I can hang out with. Like if I cook, they will come to my house. There's certain ones that, you know, if I cook and take food to school, I mean to school, Lord have mercy, to work, mm-hmm. they are ready. If I post on Facebook, I said something about I made shrimp tacos. Immediately, my hair girl was like, bring them to work. So when I cook, if I put it on Facebook, I have to take food for other people to eat. And that's just what if I every year, if I'm here, because I'm from Kansas City, I host a orphan's Thanksgiving or an orphan's Christmas. I cook everything. The most I may tell people, it just depends on, you know, what's going on. Or they may take up a collection like, you know, 10, 20 bucks a person or whatever it is. But I will cook everything. I spread. I lay everything out. Whoever doesn't have any place to go, come on over. You got people with you that, you know, they don't have any place. Just bring them over. Everybody's good. All I tell them is eat everything and you all have to clean up the kitchen. If I cook, then, you know, I'm not cleaning up. But I have, you know, they will come by. So my relationship with them is probably kind of mother, daughter, sister, friend kind of thing, because sometimes they'll flip it and they may come in and I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And you can tell by their tone. I was like, oh my God, what are they getting ready to tell me? Because sometimes I really have a problem realizing that I'm the adult in the situation, that people recognize I'm the older person. I'm the adult. So when they come and tell me stuff, I'm like, when the hell did this shit happen? So I have to be the grown up and say, okay, well, you know what? No, try this or, you know, whatever. And I have people tell me lots of stuff. But I really just have to settle into, Brianna, you're a grown up.
Yeah, and with the younger generation, there's only so many people they can actually go to in their age group and things like that to really get that comfort and that information that they need in order to grow. So.
You know what? I'm moderately intrigued that I'm the person that they come to. But I think usually what happens is, even if it's about something that they might be wearing, they go, Brianna, I'm going to ask you because I know you're going to tell the truth.
I hear that phrase a lot.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. You know, and it may be, you know, and as a matter of fact, I find that interesting. But what bothers me is if people go, I'm going to ask you something and don't lie. Don't. Why would that be the first thing you say?
Every time.
That's the implication that I'm a liar.
Exactly. Like, he's like, you already had this predefined.
Right. I don't even want to talk to you now. I don't even, because whatever you're saying, I don't care. It's unimportant. Because now you just call me a liar. Whatever you got going on in your life, I really don't care enough about it to lie to you about. So why would you say that? That irritates me. But anyway, yeah. So I just think that it's interesting that that I've turned into that person.
Well, did you forget that you were going to grow?
No, but it's like, because when you're you every day.
Right.
Okay, well, other people don't necessarily see the you every day.
Well, you got
my me is 19. My me is 19 with a bad back. You know, But that's not the me that they see. So it kind of.
Do you put it out there like you're 19, the 19 version of you? Do you put that 19 version of you out there?
Probably not, but that's because every day that you're changing and growing every day, but you don't necessarily see that. Right. You still look at, well, and when I say the 19-year-old me, I will tell you, I still have the disposition of a young person. Certain things I think are funny that other people are like, well, I'm like, this old lady, shit. You know, I don't know. I still do young people kind of stuff, so I get that that's what they see, but I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm just me. I think everyone is themselves every day, so they may not necessarily see that they're different. You know, I don't have any life-changing things that have happened with me. You know, I don't have like, oh, well, you know what? I used to be overweight, and then I lost a lot of weight. So that was like a major thing. So I see myself differently. I don't. I honestly feel like I could be 19 years old. You know,
so basically you're pretty much saying that you found yourself at 19.
I didn't find me. Me found me. I just was. I was.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I just was. I went into. I was told one of my uncles or my uncle or aunt told me one of my aunts got married when I was 3 and I was the flower girl. And I was my older brother is the oldest grandchild. I was the oldest granddaughter and number 2. And I was every bit of a tomboy through and through. From the time I was a little bitty something, I would climb everything. I'd run. I'd jump. I was probably not afraid of anything. And so I was a flower girl at Monty Debbie's wedding. And evidently, I wanted to, I think the dress was lavender and white, I think. But I wanted it off. It was probably a negotiation to get me in it to begin with, but I wanted it off, and my mother wanted a girly girl. That ain't what she got, so she wouldn't let me take the dress off or wouldn't take it off of me. I evidently climbed on a fence, like a chain link fence, mm-hmm. and wrapped the dress around the 2 spike things that come out and jumped and tore the dress up and hauled ass running.
Naked.
My mother was trying to get me. My uncle saved me. I was that kid, so... I have always been who I am. Hmm. I have had some growing pains like everybody does. But, you know, you come across some young people and they have to go through a lot of stuff before they get it figured out because they don't know who they are. I was never the person that, oh, you know what, Brianna, we're going to go hang out. We're going to go do X, Y, and Z. You want to come? Nope. Hmm. Oh, you ain't coming, man. You just, okay, yeah, whatever, bye. I was always very comfortable in my skin.
So you weren't spontaneous?
Huh?
You weren't spontaneous as a kid?
Yeah, I do all kind of. I'll do stuff now. I do.
Well,
like,
you were spontaneous enough to know yourself at a young age.
Yeah, and I was okay. Like, my thing is, I was okay by myself. You know, you have sometimes people who are they're not comfortable mm-hmm. being by themselves. I was the kid that I was fine. If you want to play me, I don't care. I'm over here anyway. I broke a kid's toe mm-hmm. when I was probably about 7. I was, I think I had carrot seeds or something. I have no idea why I had them because like right outside my mother's bedroom window on the back of the house, there was like a strip of grass and it was probably about 10 feet by 3 feet. And probably like 3 summers in a row, I would dig up the grass and call myself tilling it and I would plant stuff. So I planted corn. I don't think I ever got anything off of any of that stuff, but I would plant it. So I had these carrot seeds and I was in the driveway and I was squatting, doing whatever I was doing, and this little boy across the street came over and bothering me and probably doing what normal little boys do. And if I had been a normal girl, whatever that means, I probably would have just cried and went on about my business or just went and found something else to do. He kept bothering me, and I would tell him to leave me alone. I was like, what? Leave me alone. Kept on. I walked my lanky little self into the backyard and picked up a chunk of concrete, like out of my neighbor's side of the yard. I picked up a chunk of concrete and I literally walked holding it because all I could do was get it picked up. It wasn't like I could like pick it up over my head. Mm-hmm. And I walked right over to him and he told me, you ain't going to hit me. I dropped it right on his foot and broke his toe.
Oh, damn.
And it was okay. I didn't even like run and hide or act like I didn't do it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And when he got home, his mother came over and, you know, told my mother, and my brother said, he goes, Mom, she told him to leave her alone a bunch of times. So I didn't get in trouble for it. But if I was doing my own thing, I'm doing my own thing. Leave me alone. I was figuring stuff out, you know, whatever it was. I tried to paint my closet with red fingernail polish and Tabasco sauce. But kid stuff, you know, I guess kid stuff at my house anyway. But so, yeah, I mean, I'm spontaneous. I do lots of things. I travel. I zip line. Like top 5 zip lining in the world.
I'm sure you can have it.
What?
No, I actually tried, but the highest one, yeah, that probably scared the shit out of me after probably about a good 2-3 minutes.
So. Listen, let me tell you.
Going down.
We're in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is like top 5 in the world for whitewater rafting and zip lining. Mm-hmm. And I did both. And the rafting was good, but it wasn't, the waves were not, the river wasn't as choppy as it could have been. So, but it was still enough. I was waiting for somebody to fall out the boat. But seriously, and it was this dude. Oh my God. His name was Fernie. I think his name was Fernie. He smelled like onions. He was a German dude. And oh my God, it was so funny because he got on the little bus with us and I was with a friend of mine and he sat close to her. Oh, she was sick and I was on the other side and I just kept looking because I really couldn't smell it. So I was like, good, because I'm all about the experience when I travel. But he ended up in our boat. Oh, when that water got on that man. Oh, God.
See, a wet dog can't even compare.
Oh, my God. But anyway, when you whitewater raft in Costa Rica, you can do it like when you're on a resort. But we did like an adrenaline tour. Mm-hmm. You go up a mountain to a really nice resort, and then you get on the, what's the thing called? It looks like the little car that you get into, like if you're going, when it takes you up further up the mountain, we get off that. It's not a trolley. It's on the ropes.
I don't know the proper name, but I don't know exactly what
you're talking about. And you like get in the car and it's kind of open, but yeah, and you just close the door. So we're going up to this deal and they have they're showing you the technique and they have what's called a chicken line. So you try, you do the technique and it's probably maybe 50 feet long. So the way they would hook you into the harness and you're supposed to kind of ball up, curl up in the fetal position until you get to the platform. And they were like, well, listen, if you don't stay tight, then it'll stop you. It'll slow you down. They go, and if that happens, which happens, you know, it's no big deal. You just kind of turn yourself around and you have to pull yourself hand over hand till you get to the platform. So when we get to the first deal, the lines are like 1,200 feet. Mm. So, and you're over a rainforest. So it's not like, right, like they got this deal in Vegas, I guess, and you can go down the strip or whatever it is, but it's not like that. You are outside. It is you and Jesus. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm like, I got this camcorder with me and I don't want to hold it in my hand just in case, you know, because you're supposed to hold onto the deal. And I'm like, I don't want to drop my camcorder because then it's in the middle of this fucking rainforest and I can't get it back and what. So I took Velcro and I Velcroed my camcorder to my hand, to my wrist. So I was the first one to go because everybody else is kind of like, I was like, okay, we up here, we might as well go. Yeah. Now, once you go, there's no way to get back. So if you do the first one, you got to do all 6 of them.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. All 6 of them.
That sounds fun. Until you're ready to go.
Look, dude, when I tell you, and I was looking around, and I put the videos on Facebook, and it was so funny because the camcorder's on my arm, on my wrist, so you can see when I first started. I'm sure I probably said a cuss word or whatever, but then you kind of settle in because you're up there for a minute, so you're kind of like, okay, I'm not going to die, so let me kind of look around and see what's going on. And you are literally suspended in air, and you're going at a pretty good clip. So all you can hear on my video is... It's that thing on that rope. It's on that cable. And I'm looking around and I'm like, this is crazy. And then you're done. And I get, and because I'm looking around, I'm not holding my legs tight. So I stop. Oh, I'm damn. Like, gosh, damn it. So then I got to turn around and I'm doing this. pulling myself over to the platform. So I was like, okay, I get it now. Everybody else comes in behind you, and we have one little lady with us. I don't know why she didn't understand it, but on every single line, she would stop halfway through. So the dudes would have to come in behind her to bring her in. When I and one of the lines goes, like, all of them were above the rainforest, above the canopy. One of them went down under. You could hear all kind of stuff in there. And it wasn't like you were down there for like 2-3 seconds. You were down there. You could hear monkeys. Whatever was in there, you could hear it. I was like, this is fucking crazy.
And they can get to it. I don't know.
But you know what they did do, and not that they still couldn't get you, but they had kind of trimmed the trees back a little bit, so they weren't, you weren't right next to the trees there. You had some space. Like, I couldn't reach out like this necessarily and touch anything, but you had some, a little bit of leeway. But it's still, you're in a forest. Yeah. You were in a rainforest.
Monkey can jump on you in a second.
Man. See, you tripping now.
That's why I ain't getting on it.
Well, but you know, you can do them. If you do it on one of the resorts, the lines are shorter and they're not high up. You can actually see the ground. The one that I did, because it's the adrenaline tour, it's the adrenaline tour. Like, you don't see the ground. You are, the tops of trees is what you were looking at. You start on the platform, you end up 1,200 feet away on another platform.
It's not really the experience of it that I'm worried about. It's just that line that I don't trust. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Just that, and then you saying, you hearing that zzz, and that just, I'm just waiting on that shit to just stop and pop, and that's it. That's going to be the last time I ride it.
Yeah, because some going to eat you, because there's plenty in there.
Yeah, man.
I
can have it.
Yeah, it's cool, though.
I'm better off just skydiving shit.
I want to do that.
Yeah, that's a bucket list for me.
You haven't done it?
No. I'm going to do it at 30.
I said I was going to do it like a couple years ago, and I got some other stuff done, but I think I'm going to New Orleans next month for my birthday or somewhere or other. But yeah, I'm not spontaneous until I am. Until I want something to do, something that I want to do, then I go do it. But I am also, even at this point, I have a hydroponic garden, and I have like a grow sack or whatever it is I'm growing potatoes in. I'm far more concerned with these potatoes. I'm far more concerned with, I'm looking every day. Why haven't they broke through? Why haven't they broke the ground yet? What is going on? I'm talking. I want to know what's wrong with the potatoes, why they haven't grown. And that's what I do, you know. But if somebody were to say, hey, you know what? Like Saturday night, I went over to a girlfriend, had a birthday party, and I don't know the name of the club. It's off of Exposition. It's in Fair Park. And I've been there before. I worked on a movie in that place, and I don't know what the name, if that was the same name then. But no big deal. I got dressed up and went out, just whatever. And I was like, the whole time, I'm like, I cannot wait to get home so I can get on the couch. You know, at this point, I've done more than enough stuff. I did it when I was supposed to do it. I done shut down plenty of clubs and plenty of places. Been to work with very little, if any, sleep. If I had to work on a Saturday, you know, working overtime or what, So
you feel like you've lived.
Yeah, and I still do. I do. It's a different quality of living now for me. It's, to me, it's traveling. Like, honestly, I said I'm going to New Orleans next month. I could end up in Italy. I could just get online and find a deal and be like, I'm going to go to Italy for 10 days and be gone. And be okay with it. And just, okay, you got somebody to keep the dog? Yeah, okay, yeah. So I think, again, when you do things when you're supposed to do them, it's different. It's just a different quality of life at this point. Because I also will travel alone. I will travel internationally by myself. And I'm always floored when people go, I can't go to a restaurant by myself. I can't go to a movie by myself. Wow.
I think people like that really don't enjoy life, honestly. Like, because there's a lot of stuff that you can enjoy on your own that a lot of people do together. Like you say, the movie.
I went to London.
Like,
to
movies myself. Like, that's cool as fuck. You ain't got nobody interrupting you. You get to stay focused.
Go to Studio Movie Grill. Ooh, I love to be in some place eating.
Yes.
I'm secretly harboring a big girl. I am.
Hey, you got to eat. You got to eat.
Yeah, I don't. I've never. I've never been afraid to be alone.
Yeah.
And I think if you, I can't say that it's liberating because it's all I've ever known. I've never been one for, I have to be around people. I can sit and read a book. I can watch a movie. I can go to the movies. I will go to dinner by myself in a minute.
Is that because you live that way, or are you really, like, well, I wouldn't say necessarily forced to live that way, or mm-mm, because of the lifestyle you grew up just being by yourself, or
no,
is something you chose?
I grew up in a family where my grandparents had 11 children. I'm in that first set of grandkids, but we were always together. It was nothing for us to hang out together. My grandparents lived like 8 blocks from us. So, you know, we could go to my grandparents' house at any point. When we were little kids, like my mother and her siblings, if they would go out for New Year's Eve, we went to my grandparents' house. Or Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, we were always together, and it was not unusual for us to spend the night with cousins. We were always together. So it wasn't that, you know, I didn't see anybody. I did. I just, it's okay. I can, and not even say take or leave it like with an attitude, but I really could take or leave it. I can sit with a book and not talk to people. But, and part of that, I've always been that way, but part of it now is because for 25 years, I've worked in some industry or other where there's lots of music and lots of people talking. So when I'm at home, I'm at home. You know, I don't have to. I hate for people to stop by.
So it's more like it's a high value for you to be by yourself. Like that's,
yes,
that's your thing.
I absolutely like my time. If you come and knock on my door and didn't tell me you were coming, I won't answer it. I don't care if you hear me in there either. I don't care if you hear the TV. I don't care if you hear the dog bark. I don't care if you hear me go, shh, be quiet. I'm not answering the door.
Mom's saying.
I'm not answering the door because I really value that time. Because when you, for me, I have to be on, you know. And when I'm at work, when I'm in the dressing room, I have to be on because I'm in there with girls. You know, it's 19-year-olds in there. So, you know, they're talking to me about stuff and I really don't care. Sometimes I tell them I don't care. Sometimes I'm looking at them like, really? Sometimes it's serious. So I have to engage them in conversation or act like I care or act like I'm listening or whatever it is. So it's, you're constantly on. So when I have time where I don't have to be, ooh. Or if I'm around the people that I don't know, you wouldn't think I said 2 words ever. Because I'll just kind of sit. And I goes, you are so quiet. And I'm like, oh, if only you knew. If you could get in my head and hear what I'm thinking about you right now, can I wait? Or I'll be texting and telling my friends, oh, is somebody in here? And I'll, but I don't have to be on. They don't know me. And not so much that you have to be with your friends, but your friends know you. So, like, when I get together with my friends and we play cards, I've gone over there with men. You know, that maybe I'm out with and I'm like, oh, yeah, my friends are getting together, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or they, what are you doing? My friends are having a good. Oh, yeah, yeah, come on or whatever. Well, my friends, particularly the dudes, feel like, oh, she's here with a dude. Let's pick at her and see what she does. Because they think that I'm going to be like I'm trying to impress him. So I'm going to be really, really nice. And I'm like, I'm still going to say nasty stuff to you. I've done it. My mother has been in my house and I'm like, Mom, can you go in another room? Because I got some stuff I got to say to them. And she just kind of looks and shakes her head and goes on. But it's been consistent, you know, since I was a little bitty kid. But I have, I like my downtime. I like, that's my recharge, my battery time. Mm-hmm. That's, I can kind of collect my thoughts and process the day and see what has gone on. Yeah. And I've always been that way. Always, no matter what it is. But when I'm kicked up, I'm kicked up. I'm high strung. Like going to New Orleans, I'll be gone probably. I'll stay with a friend of mine. I'll probably leave at about 10 o'clock every morning and show up at 10 o'clock that night and just be gone. Look, we're going to have our friendly chats more often.
Yeah, it's pretty cool in Breeze World and Breeze TV, you know.
We'll see. We have to come up with some questions so you can ask me stuff and I can ask you stuff.
Oh, yeah. I can bring some questions.
I bet you can. We're done for the day. I will see you all on the radio next week. Later.